sum up the entire sermon in three lines. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty positive if God laid this on my heart, that there's some of us in here that are in the biggest battle of our entire life. Right? I don't know about you, but it seems like whenever I'm walking for God and I'm doing things for God and I got my armor on and I'm doing all this stuff, it just seems like I get blindsided at times. And whenever I get blindsided, God gives us ways to battle these battles, but oftentimes we do it on our own in the flesh. So here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot of us are in battles of our lifetime. Listen, if you live by the Spirit and you walk by the Spirit, you're going to come out of this battle a victor. How many of you want to be a victor? But listen to this. If you live by the flesh and you battle in the flesh, you're going to taste death. I'm going to show you in Scripture where the Bible says that our flesh can't even comprehend the things of God. And so if we try to overtake these things within our flesh, they're going to overtake us. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see." This is kind of where this sermon topic comes from. We were at this camp, and we had a speaker come in, and at the end of his sermon, he walks back up on the stage, and he has kind of a prophetic word for the speaker that was over the entire camp. And he said, "Listen," he said, "here's what God told me." He said, "What you see with your eyes closed is far greater than what you see with your eyes open." He said, "That vision that God placed in you, that dream that God gave you is far greater than what you see when you open your eyes and you see what's going on around you." So that's where this sermon comes from. I want you to know, if you're in here today and you're battling stuff, whatever that vision is that God gave you is far greater than what the world is telling you. Let me ask you this. What has God called you to in life? Right? What is your battle? We all have battles. We're all battling this spiritual warfare together. Listen, maybe it's your family. I don't know about you, but I have family that sometimes I'm concerned about. You know, God, I don't know if that guy's going to make it to heaven. God, I don't know if my son's going to make it in there. God, if I look at it through my fleshly eyes, there's no hope. Listen, whenever I operate in the flesh, that's the way I see things. But whenever I operate in the Spirit, God says this, "Hey, John, I got this. All things are possible through me." What about your marriage? Huh? How many of you have battled in your marriage? Let me tell you, I've been married 25 years, and we've only had, how many battles? We've had a few battles, right? She goes, "Don't tell all of them." We've had a few battles, and at times it's felt like it was unreconcilable. Right? That this isn't going to work out, God. Listen, I've done everything in my power. Right? That was my first wrongdoing. I did everything in my power. But whenever I operate in the Spirit, God says this, "I serve a God of reconciliation." What about your ministry? Boy, man, sometimes I wonder, God, are you crazy? You called me? Are you nuts? Even after you called me, God, I fall sometimes. Do you see what I just did? And he's like, "John, listen. Listen, I know what you see with your eyes may look grim, but let me tell you something." Romans 11:29 says this, "For God's gifts and his callings are irrevocable." That calling on your life, that calling on my life, I don't care what state you're in right now, that calling on your life, that gift on your life is irrevocable. Listen, you don't have to go back and work for it. You already have it. Don't worry about it. Pick yourself up and you start walking in the ways that God wants you to walk. Listen, how do we fight a losing battle? How many of you in here have ever fought a battle in your life, went through something in your life, that you felt like there was no way you were going to overcome that battle? Huh? Raise your hand. Don't be scared. I would in a heartbeat. I'm telling you, there's been battles in my life where I wanted to give up at absolutely every turn. So how do we fight this losing battle? First of all, we've got to realize that this battle is not against flesh and blood. right? It's spiritual warfare. And for me, I've always tried to battle things in my flesh. I'm strong enough. I can take this. I'm a man. I'm not even going to cry, right? I'm not even going to cry. I can handle this. But Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm." Listen, Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident then." Listen, it was only whenever he was walking by faith and not by sight that he gained his confidence. And I'm telling you, when we begin to walk by faith and we begin to walk in the Spirit, we gain a confidence that is unexplainable. We'll be able to step into battles and nobody will be able to understand, why is that guy happy? Right? I was telling Jessica, there was a time in our life whenever we were battling and we had this stuff going on and it seemed like my whole world was falling around me. But I was walking in the Spirit and I literally walked into our pantry with my headphones on and I began to jump and shout and praise the Lord. And I thought, man, if anybody's seen this, they'd think I was crazy, right? And I can't even explain it myself. How in the world do you have such a joy and such a peace whenever you're battling so hard? Stay in the Spirit. Listen, you can't win this battle with your fist. In Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, "In purity and understanding, patience and in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in my right hand and in my left hand." You know what's crazy about that? He seems like an extremely confident dude right there, like he's got it all put together. But I read these scriptures backwards, because here's what he says before that. He says, "Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonment, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger." Let me ask you this. How does a man set in prison after being beaten, open sores, and be able to write a letter and say, "Listen, I operated in purity and understanding, in patience and in kindness"? Here's how: in the Holy Spirit. See, he figured it out. He figured out if he walked in the Spirit, he didn't see the way he used to see things in his flesh. Because when he seen things in his flesh and he operated in his flesh, he destroyed those around him. Right? But now then, his fleshly body is being destroyed, but he sees things in the Spirit. He doesn't just see in the physical realm, he sees in the spiritual realm. That's who I want to be. I was writing this message and I thought, boy, I serve a backwards God. Y'all say, "Hey, you can't say that about God. He already knows. I wrote it down right here. He read it last night." Man, it seems like God is completely backwards. Somebody hits me, I want to get revenge. He says, "Don't get revenge, John. Pay them back with kindness." Somebody curses you, don't curse them back. Bless them. You walk through the battle of your life, don't battle with your hands. Battle in the Spirit. Like, man, this guy. Listen, we think we've got it figured out. I did. But don't attack this battle with wisdom, with human wisdom. Listen, did you know that we can't even accept the promises of God or the wisdom of God if we don't walk in the Spirit? Did you know that your flesh isn't even capable of understanding the words that God speaks to you, or the things that you read in the Bible, or understanding His ways without operating in the Spirit? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "The natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Listen, in my life, there's times I've wanted to give up many, many times. I know there's those of you sitting out there in that congregation right now, or maybe watching online, that maybe want to give up right now. Listen, I'm telling you, if you will operate in the Spirit, you will walk in victory. Makes absolute no sense. Right? Because I can't understand what God's telling me. I can't understand the promises that God's given me. I can't even understand the word that was given during worship. without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That stuff seems foolishness to me. What, you mean God is my healing? God is my salvation? How do I understand? That sounds like foolishness, right? I need to go to the doctor for my healing. That's not what God says. God says that my word, my son that died on the cross is your healing. That's where your salvation comes from. And whenever we begin to walk in the Spirit and we stop operating in the flesh, we can see that. Listen, Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says this. So I walk by the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Listen, the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit. In the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other. Listen, in your flesh, we can't even please God. We can't understand what God wants. We can't understand what the Spirit wants. Our flesh has absolutely nothing to do with the Spirit, but it is contrary to the Spirit. You say, John, that sounds great. Yeah, let's put on the armor of God, and we're going to walk out, and we're going to battle these spiritual warfare and this stuff in realms that can't be seen. I've been in church my entire life. And it seems like to me, I'm like, well, you know, I prayed and I didn't see that happen. I witnessed to this person and nobody come to salvation. I prayed for my marriage, I still struggle. I battle with pornography, but I still fall into it. I've been praying for years and I've seen absolutely no results. So you take your spiritual warfare and you take it somewhere else. Right? That's what I wanted to say when I was operating in the flesh. Because none of this stuff made absolutely any sense to me. 2 Peter says this. Listen, the Lord's not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness. But is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. Listen, God's timing is on purpose and for a purpose absolutely every time. Right? When I look at God, I'm like, dude, you're slow. Right? I prayed for this 6 years ago and I'm not seeing any results. And it's in these moments. Right, even when I was a little kid, I learned in children's church, put on the full armor of God, right? I think we even sang a song to it. But it's in these moments I get tired of carrying this armor around, so I shuck it, right? Listen, I'm not seeing any results out of walking in the Spirit. I'm going to take this stuff off and I'm going to handle it on my own. When things begin to go wrong, especially when I'm operating in the Spirit, if I'm not careful to stand, I fall. Right? I'm walking along and something happens to me and all of a sudden my flesh says, hey, listen, that happened to you, you're entitled. You're entitled to walk in the flesh. Right? I want to be justified. I want to be vindicated. Everything that happened to me, I want to get revenge. That's what my flesh is screaming. That person's no good. You tried to help them out and now then they did it again. Just let them go. That's what my flesh says. I'll tell you a story. One time I was, I think it was last year, I walk out of the house and it's a hot summer day and I look up on the gable of our house. There's all these dive bombing wasps coming at me. I'm like, wow. I'm not scared of much, but I was getting a little bit nervous that day because they're everywhere. And I look up on the house, and I kid you not, there's hundreds if not thousands of wasps that have covered my house. I don't know where they come from, but they show up, and they're up here on the gable of my house, and I can't even walk outside because there's so many of them. So God placed a Tractor Supply at the corner of XXX just for me. Right? It's within walking distance almost. So I go to Tractor Supply and they have a beekeeper suit. I always wanted a beekeeper suit. I thought it was cool. My grandpa kept bees when I was a little kid. So I've kind of got this dream one day I'm going to have some bees. But I don't have the bees yet, but I got a beekeeper suit. So I gird myself with this beekeeper suit. I got the gloves and everything. I look cool in it. My wife, she would, no? She says no. She's walking by sight, not by. So anyway, I've got these gloves on. I got this suit on. I got my hat on. It zips up to my suit. I even tape my shoes up, my pants legs up so they can't get into my pants legs. And I arm myself with wasp spray. Huh? Yeah. And I walk out of this house, like John Wayne. I throw my ladder up on that roof and I crawl up on that roof. And guess what? They did exactly what I thought they were going to do. Right? I can see them on my net with their stinger trying to come through the net. And in complete confidence, I stood there. I thought, man, without this suit, I'd probably fall off the roof. I would die. Standing in that suit, I had such confidence. It was cool to sit up there and annihilate all these red wasps. Right? Annihilate these things. Walk into the enemy's territory without an ounce of fear. Listen, when you walk in the flesh, if I would have walked up on that roof in the flesh, I'd have probably had a red bum. I don't know if I can say it. I'd have been stung all over my body. But when I walked up there prepared for the battle that I was walking into, I might have looked goofy, right? But when I walked up there, I stood in complete confidence that the battle I stepped into, I was going to win. Let me tell you this, what you see with your eyes closed is far greater than what you'll ever see with your eyes open. See, when I was a kid, I think I remember loving God as a young man, but somewhere in there, I walked astray. And I think I ran. I ran so hard and so fast away from God that whenever I turned around and looked, I didn't even know if I'd ever find my way back. And so my mom, she had sent me this picture. Paige, why don't you put that up here real quick? You see, this picture is a picture of my mom's Bible. And down here at the bottom, it says, John Lewis. That's my name. That was my grandpa's name. I'm extremely proud of it. John Lewis, on 3/14/97, he answered the call. John's called to preach morning, day, and night. Let me tell you something. Back in 97, if you'd have known me in 97, I was so addicted to pornography. I had such a filthy mouth, I literally got fired from a drywall crew. The most filthy mouth individuals you ever met fired me. I was quickly going down a path with alcohol that I may not ever come back from. I was spending my time in strip clubs. Everything I did on purpose to get as far away from God and my upbringing as I possibly could. And this woman calls from our church. My mom says I was a little bit reluctant to write this in my Bible. Because see what the flesh and what our eyes sees sometimes is deceiving. What, right? What God tells us and the promises that God gives us, if we open our eyes and we look at our current situation, that doesn't line up. Right? Them radical people in church telling this stuff, that'll never happen. Matter of fact, not to knock Brother Bob, one of my all-time favorite pastors, love that guy with all my heart, almost shot him one time outside of our house on like the second day he was in Tacoma Park on accident. But it's Pastor Temple's brother, I remember one time I was in the fellowship hall and we're laying baseboard around the carpet. I said, "Hey, Brother Bob, somebody prophesied over me that I was going to preach." He goes, "I don't know about that one." Right? And I was like, "Wow." But the life I was living absolutely didn't point to this stage right here. The life I was living pointed towards a life of death. Right? And this was in 97. That's 25 years ago. And when I was asking my mom about it, she said, "John, you know, every day I would walk in your room and I'd lay my hands on your pillow in your bed and I would pray over it." You know, she realized that the battle wasn't against flesh and blood. That the promise that God gave her with her eyes closed was far greater than what she could see with her eyes open. Listen, you've got a lost son or daughter out there. I know that you're in here. It seems absolutely hopeless. You've got a marriage that's falling apart and it seems absolutely hopeless. That calling that God's placed on your life doesn't seem like it's ever going to come to pass. I'm telling you, you step into that Spirit. You follow the Spirit and you follow that truth and you do not let it go. And I'm telling you, God's word will not return void. I can tell you today, one of the greatest things in my life is to stand on this stage and to preach. I could have never dreamed that 25 years ago. To have life-giving words come out of your mouth and not filth that was so bad that you get fired by sheetrockers. Paul, while he was sitting in prison, he wrote Timothy and he said this. See, Timothy was upset. You know, his mentor, this guy that he looked up to, his spiritual leader, has went through more than you or I could ever imagine. Being beaten, spit on, disgraced. And Timothy is upset about it, and here's what Paul writes to me. He says, "Listen, for this reason I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind." Here's Timothy. I'm sure he was scared. "I don't know, God, if I want to go down this path. You see what Paul's going through?" And Paul, a man that's walking in the Spirit, that's being beaten, his physical self is just being torn to shreds. He stands there with confidence and he says, "Listen, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind." That power, that confidence comes only by walking in the Spirit. Jessica had said this morning that she had, she was watching, I can't even think of the pastor's name, but he said that every morning you should get up and put the armor of God on. He goes, "Man, that sounds amazing, right? First thing you do, get up in the morning, put the armor of God on." He said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." He said, "Why would you ever take it off? Why would you ever take that off?" And see, that's me. Right, because whenever I pull it off and I convince myself, right, I take the armor of God off because I'm entitled to. I've been wronged. I'm entitled to walk in the flesh. Not one person would not condone me for doing what I'm doing. And there comes a moment where I realize that this battle that I walked into in the flesh is too much. And I look down at this pile of armor and I'm thinking, why did I ever take it off? It almost seems overwhelming to put it back on when all I had to do is just wear it, stay in it. Listen, don't be deceived by Satan. Don't believe that you can handle this situation on your own. Don't believe that your family is too far gone. Operate in the Spirit and see that God's Word won't come back, doing exactly what it was intended and sent forth to do. This morning I don't even know where he got it. He began to sing this song. Maybe God just give it to him. Refresh the fire. Refresh the wind. Refresh the fire. Fan into flame the gift that God has given you. You stand on that truth that God has given you. I don't care if it takes 25 years. You stand on that truth and you begin to watch and you begin to look in the Spirit and you begin to see this thing open up and God operating in areas that you couldn't even imagine. Listen, you want peace in the middle of that storm that you're going through? You want to be able to walk in your pantry and throw your hands up with headphones on and jump up and down and look like an idiot? I do. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passion and with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Listen, if doubt tries to creep its way in, fan it back into flame. It looks like that fire's gone out and your ministry is falling apart, fan it back into flame. No matter what you see going on around you and you see your children walking farther and farther away from God, stand on that promise and fan it back into flame. Listen, you guys stand up with me. If the worship team wants to come back up, it'd be awesome. Here's some takeaways I'd like for you to take with you. If you walk in the flesh, I can promise you, I guarantee you, you're going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And those fleshly desires lead only to one place, and that's to death. The only way to weather the storm and remain confident, walk in peace no matter what's going on around you, is remain in the Spirit. You guys bow your heads and close your eyes.